Welcome to Praise God. I'm Arrested and Free with your host, Julianne Harris. A show based on the Word of God and the promises of God's undying love for you. Now your host and the sheriff's daughter, Julianne Harris.
Hello and good morning. It is October the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2019. I'm Julianne Harris, and praise God, I'm arrested and free. I've been arrested by God's goodness, His love, His grace, and His mercy. And I have been set free from pain, anxiety, fear, discontentment, all the negative things that can happen to us in life, I have been set free from. And a special shout out to my dad in northeastern Montana, who is a sheriff. So yes, I am a sheriff's daughter. You know, I just want to jump back to where I say I'm set free from these things. Look, folks, it doesn't mean that these things don't happen to me. It doesn't mean that in a moment you can be anxious about something. But guess what? I can walk free from that. Because it's just part of the fallen world that we live in. These things are going to attack you, but I've been set free from it, meaning I can walk above it, meaning that I don't get down and wallow in the mully grubs, as my mom would say, which who knows what the mully grubs are, but praise God. So I'm going to continue sharing with you this week about how you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Look, you guys, this has to be your identity. We have to have this so clear in our head that we are a three-part being. However, we are one person. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like the Trinity. It's kind of like how you have God the Father, you have God, Jesus the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. There's three in one. You know, when God made us, He created us in His image. So that it just ties in together that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And maybe you're listening for the first time and you're thinking, I don't even know what this has to do with anything. Well, listen up, folks, because it will radically change your life, especially if you are a born-again believer. If you're not, this really does not pertain to you. But you need to get born again because your spirit's going to live forever, either in the presence of God or in hell. And so I would suggest that the presence of God, the presence of pure love, is way, they don't even compare. So I just want you to know, all you have to do is believe in your heart that God sent Jesus as His Son to earth to die on the cross for your sins. If you believe that and you confess Him as Lord of your life and you believe that God raised Him from the dead on the third day, you are saved. And if you've done that, praise God. That's what you need to do. But what does that mean? You know, when I've said that prayer at a young age of like 7 or 8 years old, I remember the whole setting. I remember having this peace to know I'm right with God, but I didn't understand a lick of what it meant. And that's where this is where I'm wanting to take us, is so that we can understand wholeheartedly how we are a spirit, we live in a soul, and we have a body. I know I say it a lot, but it needs to be differentiated in your heart and in your head. And until you start understanding who you are in the spirit, you will not see any change of identity on the outside. You won't see any fruit in your life. You won't be able to walk free from fear. You won't be able to walk free from discontentment and anxiety and all these things unless you start understanding, once you believe on Jesus, how right you are with God and how you can be right with God. You know, I just want to look for a moment at Paul, the Apostle Paul. You know, he was originally Saul and he was a Pharisee. He was killing Christians. And then after a radical encounter with God and understanding righteousness through Jesus and not through his own works, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Did you know he's a murderer? And this day and age, we would be like, what? How could anybody listen to him? Well, he got a revelation of how right he was with God, and he was very clear on spirit, soul, and body. And this is, when you read the Bible, folks, if you can grasp this message that I'm sharing with you, it will open up the Bible like never before. You'll be able to read it and go, oh, You know, I used to not like James or 1st and 2nd and 3rd John because I didn't understand it. It just would like condemn me. Well, when we read it through the eyes of spirit, soul, and body, it takes on a whole new meaning, praise God. So let's get back to the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul. And this is what he has to say about this whole issue, about his identity. Because guess what? He had to deal with some stuff. I'm sure he had some guilt and condemnation that he had to deal with. And so we're going to look at his little commentary on himself. And this is out of Philippians chapter 3. And he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." See, he makes it very clear. We rejoice in the Spirit, and we have no confidence in the flesh, which is our body. Okay, and then he's going on further. Verse 4 says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh..." He says, "If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." So he's like, if you think you can trust in your flesh and stand on what you do in your body and your works and your accolades and your degrees from college or maybe, you know, your title at the church, if you think you can trust in that, he says, then I more. And then he goes on further to just clarify his standard or his qualifications. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. So in verse 5, he says, "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He's saying everything that I do in my flesh, you guys, I just count it but dung. You know what that word means, right? That's what he considers it. And he does it because he esteems Jesus Christ so high. That is the ultimate, you guys. We need to take a moment and just think on that. And it says in verse 9, "And be found in him, in Jesus, not having my own righteousness." In other words, not saying, well, I do this and I don't smoke, I don't cuss, I don't chew, I don't go with girls that do or guys that do. It has nothing to do with that. He wants to be found in Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I just want you to think about that, you guys, because Paul was very clear. And then if we jump down to verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He forgot all that stuff. You know, I just feel like somebody right now listening, you are tormented by your past. And you know what? If you are driving, say you're driving down the road and you look in the rearview mirror, right? You see what's going on. When you are focused on your past, it's like you're driving down the road looking at nothing but the rearview mirror. How many of you know your driving is going to be very good? Because it's not. You know, I heard Todd White say, I've been listening to him quite a bit, and he was talking about how if you revisit things of your past, apart from the finished work of Jesus in your life, apart from the fact that all sin has been forgiven in your life, past, present, and future, if you revisit those things and you revisit it with regret, with remorse, with sadness. Now, I'm talking, there's a balance here, folks, because repentance, godly repentance, will change your life. And that's when you go, oh, wow, I missed it there. I'm changing my direction. You make a change. It's a change in direction is what repentance is. Now, after you've done that, and you could be 15 years later, all of a sudden something from your past comes back to you. And if you visit that, apart from what Jesus already has done for you, then you're entering into a world where you're basically believing a lie about yourself and how that looks for you. And it's all about identity, folks. And that's what I'm trying to share. Your identity is who you are in the spirit. You know, Paul was very clear. He's like, this one thing that I do, forgetting that which is behind. You know, he had to forget stoning people, killing Christians. And these were Christians, folks. He was killing people. And now he is a member of the body of Christ, and he's having to deal with this stuff. And so he had such an idea of how he had to just forget that which is behind and pressing on. And looking forward, keeping your mind on something other than what's going on in the physical, something other than what you did in your past, something other than, and I shouldn't say something, I should say the Word of God, the truth of what the Word says about you. And that is Jesus. You look identical to Jesus in the Spirit, and we need to know that. In Galatians chapter 1, another message from Paul. He's such a great example of this, you guys. In Galatians chapter 1, I'm just going to read for a little bit through this. And it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's his little nicety to the churches at Galatia, and here he jumps into it. In verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. He calls it another gospel, folks, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I love the Apostle Paul. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he has to say it again because he knew some people would say, no, not surely not accursed. And he says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And he says here in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow, you guys, that is huge. And then he goes on to say that he, when he got this revelation, he conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't go run into some man and, hey, if you're not able to listen to the rest of this episode, please give me a call or send me a text message at 970-919-0459 or find me on Facebook at Arrested and Free. You can find the link there or go to krdo.com, click on podcast, and you can find me there. So, you know, Paul was so clear on this, that this revelation of who he was revealed to him from God. And Paul is the same one who talks about the difference between the spirit and the soul and the body. You guys, this is so clear to me. And I've listened to it and I've meditated on this for so many years now that it's just such a part of me. And this can change your life. I'm trying to show you the importance. And there's no way that Paul could have had the change in his life. And there's no way that Paul could have went from city to city, gotten stoned, gotten beaten with rods, put in prison, put in the dungeon, knowing he's doing the will of God and still be in the prison. Like if you look at Philippians, Philippians was written from prison and it is one of the happiest books in the whole Bible. You know, Paul's sitting in prison with his hands and feet in the stocks and they start praising God. How can that be? And a lot of you listening are dealing with such inconsequential things, and yet you're letting it rob your day-to-day life and the peace and the joy that Jesus paid for you to have that is already jam-packed on the inside of you in your spirit. But your mind isn't thinking about that. No, because your mind is more concerned about what's going on with the hangnail in your big toe and how much pain that's causing. Or you're too focused on, man, it could be anything, you guys. You're too focused on how somebody rolled their eyes at you at work the other day. Or maybe you're too concerned about how somebody responded to you when you were trying to be friendly and they were rude or snippy. And that's going to ruin your whole day? Really? I'm just saying our focus might be a little off. And if we don't understand that we are a spirit and what we have in the spirit, you know, I just want to jump over here right quick to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And this is so foreign to a lot of churches and the body of Christ. And that is a shame, but that's what I'm trying to change here. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," he wouldn't have said that. It wasn't like maybe. No, he's saying, if it dwells in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. But see, if you're not thinking about the spirit that dwells in you, if you're not thinking about the fruit of the spirit that is jam-packed on the inside of you, if your mind is all 100% thinking about your flesh, then guess what? That's all it's going to be all-consuming. That's what's called walking in the flesh. For they that walk in the flesh mind the things of the flesh. So if you're thinking about your relationship with your spouse and how he's mean to you, if you're thinking about maybe you don't have enough money for that fifth flat screen TV that you want in your house, and that's just the end of the world, you know, a lot of younger folks, well, you know, if I don't have the newest phone, well, I shouldn't just give that to younger folks because there's older folks too. If I don't have the newest phone, I'm just not happy. You know, it's these carnal, fleshly things that we focus on. And meanwhile, God's going, you have it all. I've given you all power and authority and everything that you need to live a godly life is already on the inside of you. Everything that you need, and I'm telling you right now, everything that you need to walk through this life being free from fear, being free from pain, being free from discontentment is already on the inside of you, but you don't know it. You're like walking around. Did you know, I want you to just think about this. I know I've said it before, but I want you to think about this. Did you know your eyes have never physically seen your own face? Never. It's impossible unless you pluck out an eye and look at your face. Your eyes have never directly seen your own face. Guess what? The only way you've seen your own face is by looking in a mirror. Is that true or is it not true? I mean, you can argue with me, but I don't know. There's no human on earth that ever has been or ever will be that will be able to physically see their own face. The only way you can see what you look like, and you know, when you look in the mirror, generally you're not looking for all the positives. You see every flaw, every shortcoming that you have. I'm telling you, you know it's true, but you have to look in the mirror, and then that's the only way you can see what you physically look like. However, I could ask you right now, what do you look like? And you could tell me your eye color. You could tell me the shape of your eyes. You could even tell me the shape of your face, your hair color. Everybody is fully aware of what they look like in their body, in the physical. But the majority of the body of Christ has no idea what they look like in the spirit. And you know, here's the thing. Jesus said his spirit, his words are truth and they are life. And so James goes on to tell us in chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. This is what James tells us. This is so good, you guys. James chapter 21, verse 23 through 25, it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." So if you're hearing what I'm saying, but you don't actually start to believe it, you're just like, you're not a doer. So it's like you're looking in. I'm telling you who you are in the spirit, and you're looking in a natural glass. Basically, that's what James is saying. So in verse 24, he says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Like, he forgets what he looks like. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You know, that's interesting because the word of God is a perfect reflection of who you are in the spirit. Do you want to know who you are in the spirit? You should start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because who you are in the spirit is Jesus. You are 100% identical to Jesus. God loves you with the same love that he loves his son Jesus, because that's who you are in the spirit. You guys let's start thinking about this. If we don't start thinking about it, then we're just going to continue on down the same miserable, depressed, anxious life that we're living right now. And look, Jesus died for you to have such an amazing life. And then Jesus left this earth so that the Holy Spirit might come and dwell with you. So the Holy Spirit is always going to be speaking to you, revealing to you who Jesus is and who you are. Man, you guys, I just hope you can grasp this, because this message can radically change your life if you allow it. It's just like everything I've been teaching now for months. If you don't believe it, if you don't receive it, if you don't even try, it's not going to do you any good. And so I'm just calling on you right now. Forget about all that junk that's going on around you. Forget about all the junk that's going on in your body, maybe physically. And start thinking about the power and the love that is on the inside of you. And watch how your whole attitude will change. It really will. But you got to do it. You got to, you know, there's a gentleman that listens to me, and I know he's struggling right now. And I know you're listening to me right now. And I know you're struggling with addiction and how to get free. And I'm just here to tell you, brother, start focusing on Jesus. You know, I know you're reading the word. Well, just start focusing on Jesus and start seeing yourself in that situation. Start seeing yourself completely unaffected by the things going on around him. You know, how could he be on that cross while they were spitting on him? And how could he just say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Do you know you could do that if you start seeing who you are in the Spirit? So I'm coming to an end, and I want to leave you with the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I think this is a great scripture to leave with you this week, and I want you to think about it. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And that used to confuse me forever, but all I'm saying is we walk by faith of who we are in the Spirit. We don't walk by sight. And this is to my brother that I was just talking to that's struggling with the addiction in his life. Look, brother, you need to walk by faith. You need to say, even in the midst of all your mess, look at yourself and say, by faith, I believe. I believe that I have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead on the inside of me. I'm not going to walk by what I'm doing in the flesh right now. I'm telling you, and some of you guys may think, oh my goodness, you're just giving him a license to do more of what he's addicted to. No, I'm telling you, you guys, grace apart from transformation is perversion. If you can get a revelation of God and how much he loves you and how much he's paid for you, then you can walk free from any addiction. And I got a question for you. I want to hear how you've read the word and you've seen yourself in the word. How you've seen how you're realizing who you are in the Spirit, who you are from the Word of God. I want to hear about that at 970-919-0459 or on Facebook at Arrested and Free. And you guys have a great week. Tune in next Sunday at 6:30 a.m. here on KRDO News Radio, and have an awesomely blessed week. Bye.
The preceding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
I'm Julianne Harris with Praise God, I'm Arrested and Free here on KRDO on Sundays at 6:30 a.m. I know there's a lot of people that are in the church and are born-again believers, and they have no idea what life is about. So tune in this Sunday at 6:30 a.m. here on KRDO News Radio and find out that once you become born again, the rest of your Christian life consists of simply renewing your mind.